And what a passage for Brooke to give me, right? Blessed are the persecuted. So let's just finish on something really joyful. This is the one, yeah. So you good? Is everyone good? Yeah. Mum, can you hear me? Because I'll hear about it when I get home if you can't hear me. Good. All right, let's pray. God, I just want to thank you for this incredible community, for every person who is present with us now. Thank you. Is present with us now, but Lord, also, for those who you have called into different communities or situations. And so grateful for all you have done, for all you are doing, and for all that you are leading this community into. And Lord, as we just try and get our heads around this this passage of scripture in the Beatitudes, I really felt deep in my spirit, Lord, that this was a message this morning for those who are weary and heavy laden. For those, Lord, who are feeling a sense of disappointment in the midst of your promise. And so, Lord, today I pray that through this message, Lord, and through the words that I have and my own experiences in learning so much about your persecuted church and persecuted Christians, I just pray, Lord, that above all, that you would just filter my muffled words or the noise, and Holy Spirit, we just look to you to bring peace, to bring healing and to bring hope in this message this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a couple of things I think that I just want to acknowledge about the Beatitudes, and I'm sorry if I don't sound super spiritual in front of you this morning, but I have a love-hate relationship with the Beatitudes. I love them because they bring me so much hope and there's promise in it. But to be honest with you, my own frustration in my humanity and the journey I've walked in seeing and being confused so often by this upside-down kingdom has left me feeling really vulnerable at times with my faith. Really vulnerable about, God, how do I even get my head around these promises and this truth and these scriptures of this beautiful passage that the Lord has given us in the Beatitudes. And, you know, I think that one of the things I've discovered and continue, even though I'm a lot maybe more aware of the challenges, I think, that the persecuted church, that's the passage, blessed are the persecuted, face. But I just think the hope of God sometimes is confusing to me. It's not to God, because that's why God's God and I'm not. But it's confusing. And maybe that's how you feel too. And so I'm going to just be a little bit vulnerable today around this and just draw in some of what I think this scripture really, the hope that it does bring, and the hope that you will find rest as well. So, we know this scripture that, and I'm sure that you've read it over the weeks, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and blessed are the persecuted. I don't know about you, but as I've already said, sometimes I really struggle with that. Because when I look at our world, and you don't have to go very far at the moment to look at the news or turn on the news, the extent of the brokenness in our world is just confronting, right? And there's answers that are not necessarily easy to find in the middle of so many complex and challenging situations. And sometimes, to be honest with you, for me at least, that the despair can sometimes feel overwhelming. There's moments when I feel overwhelmed. And there's moments when I'm talking to my colleagues who are currently living in the Middle East, in Lebanon, in Iraq, where their daily life of dealing with and in the midst of war is a reality that we will never really truly understand with our faith living here. But what I love about this scripture is that wherever the marginalized and the vulnerable sit at the edges of society, this passage brings hope. This passage brings a way forward. And in the places of mourning, in the places of poverty, and not just physical poverty, spiritual poverty, mental poverty, emotional poverty, that is where God seems to be mysteriously at work. The Beatitudes say something completely unexpected. They say that there is a blessing in the midst of grief, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of a world that tells us that that the marginalized and the vulnerable and the oppressed, they just have no hope, or it seems that they can just be a number. So a lot of persecuted Christians, when they're in prison, they don't have a name anymore. They're just a number. And so the power of this scripture is actually it forms an identity in the core of who we are as God's children and enables us to have the hope of a blessing that can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit, a spiritual strengthening that we read about in Ephesians 3. The scripture that says that God can do immeasurably more than anything you could ever ask, dream, or imagine according to his power at work within you is one of those blessings. And because I think we don't always fully comprehend the word blessing, we often equate it to things like comfort or success or ease or financial gain. But this is not the blessing, I believe, that the Lord was speaking over the community that he was preaching to on in the Beatitudes. It was the poor, it was the vulnerable, it was those who were being persecuted by the Roman guards, that they had no place in society, no place, no voice, no capacity to experience any change. So this message itself is such a radical hope, not just for them, but for me. In the midst of my grief, in the midst of my mourning, in the midst of times when I feel like I'm making choices for the kingdom of God, and it impacts me. The sacrificial impacts that we experience in a different perspective, yes, than the persecuted church in the Middle East or in Africa or in some of those places. And this is the incredible thing about the Beatitudes, is because it's a defining moment when Jesus is describing a completely different kingdom to those who are on the margins. In the middle of the broken humanity was Jesus. In the middle of my broken humanity is Jesus. Is this promise? Is the mystery that we spoke about this morning when we took communion? Is in the pilgrimage? Is in, and I would say, a bookend to this passage of scripture. I loved what Rowan read this morning in Hebrews 12. The perseverance, the capacity to get back up again, the capacity to trust that God has a future and a promise that he's leading us to. Even though our emotions right now may not align to that and we're in this gap, this is the promise that we hold on to. A promise of hope, a promise of God that the story we see today is not the final chapter. In the places where we feel most deepest despair, God speaks blessing. In the places where grief feels overwhelming, God speaks hope. In the places where our future feels uncertain, God offers all of us a new tomorrow. God offers us healing. God offers us forgiveness. All of this is in the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are not ignoring the pain of the world. They don't pretend that suffering isn't real. Instead, they speak directly into it and provide a pathway for us to navigate the complexities of life and the grief we often see in our own lives and in the families that we journey alongside, both in our church but also our immediate families. None of us, unfortunately, I wish there was another story, but we're not immune from humanity's brokenness. It impacts us. And this Beatitudes, this capacity for us, it leads to hope and it leads to a better and deeper understanding of God. And I hope, more importantly, that this pathway leads to a deeper compassion and empathy for others. When Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of my righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," in my opinion, I know some people may have a different theology than I do on this, and that's okay, but in my opinion, he is not glorifying suffering. It's not like it's a discipleship pathway he puts us through. You know, the persecuted church grows, yes. But I don't think that's, I think the outcome is the miracle of what God is doing in the lives of people who are positioned within persecuted nations. It's not a discipleship or church planning pathway that's glorified. Suffering at its absolute core is horrendous. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And I honestly, to this day, do not believe that it's God's intent. But he's there in the midst of it. He knows. He died on the cross for us, that we would have hope, that we would have forgiveness, that we would have the capacity to see that there's something we can hope for as we move and he allow the Holy Spirit to heal us in our suffering. One of my dear friends who was on a bus during the ISIS raids in Iraq, she was the only one that survived on that bus tragedy. Everyone else was blown up. The reality is that in that situation for her, that suffering for her, was a catalyst to incredible growth. And God changed and transformed and brought healing to her suffering. She's one of our most incredible leaders across the work and the projects that are happening across Iraq. Did God recreate a story out of that suffering? Absolutely. But let me tell you now, she still wears those scars. Blessed are the persecuted, because God, it continues to give strength through the power of the Holy Spirit, enables people to have the courage to keep turning up when everything else is coming against them, to stand for justice, to stand for mercy, to stand for truth, to stand for the vulnerable. Those things often come with a cost. And for those who are living in nations that violently oppress Christians, the cost is persecution. For us, the cost may be something different. Sometimes the cost is rejection. Sometimes the cost is misunderstanding. Sometimes it's opposition. But like the passage of Scripture in Hebrews 11 says, we keep running, we keep persevering, and we keep trusting God. Danielle Strickland is a Salvation Army speaker. She wrote this book, which still to this day, I love the concept of the book, and I love the book, but I also love the concept. She describes the kingdom of God as a place of a beautiful mess. And I love the fact that there's these two opposing kind of thoughts or concepts that can live together. that in the midst of the rubble, Jesus is there. In the midst of my mess, Jesus is there. In the midst of messy systems, Jesus is there. Jesus shows up in places where things look broken. Jesus shows up in communities where people are struggling. I've seen this over and over and over again, and I'm convinced that there is no place dark enough where Jesus doesn't reside. In lives that feel messy and unfinished, in the disappointments I carry in my life, God is not finished. God is not finished with me. He's not finished with you, because he's building something new out of my trauma, out of my pain, out of my confusion, out of my not knowing, out of my limited perspective that I have. God is bringing something new. And out of the mess, out of this mess, hope begins to grow. For mourning, God gives us the gift of joy. Out of darkness, a new morning begins to appear. God, the Beatitudes remind us that we are seen, that we are loved, that there is no amount of brokenness we carry that the Lord is not able to bless. God's kingdom is moving towards restoration, towards justice, towards healing, towards renewal. And so when Jesus says, "Blessed are the persecuted," he's reminding us that even when the world pushes back against the ways of God, the kingdom of God is still coming and hope is still alive. And so that's a message I felt to share with you today. And when I was really praying this morning, as I first started, that message, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will bring you rest." For those of you this morning who are carrying disappointment, who are holding the tension of unanswered or unmet prayers. I had this one lady. I was discipled as a 16-year-old when I became a Christian by a lady who was one of our elders. She passed away quite a few years ago. I was 16. I think she was like in her late 60s. She was in a situation where she was in a domestic violence situation. She separated from her husband way before I ever met her. She prayed for her ex-husband, I think it was something ridiculous, like 50 years or something before she died. They moved her into an old age home, he knocked on the door and told her that he had given his life to Christ. She taught me about perseverance in prayer. If your prayers, you feel like there's this stopgate in your prayers, I want to acknowledge that that is the place where we can be most vulnerable. And it's exhausting. I find it exhausting. I find it exhausting when I'm like, "God, come on. Come on." Some of you are obviously maybe a lot more patient. It's not one of my gifts. I'm like, "Come on, God. I'm so desperate to see this." And yet we have hope. God has not forgotten you. God is at work. I want to acknowledge the fact that it can be exhausting and tiring. But God knows, and he's with you today. Let me pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for these Beatitudes. Wow, what an upside-down kingdom you've given us to be a part of. And it fills us with great joy, But Lord, I just want to confess, sometimes it's really hard to try to work all this out and not having your perspective. So Lord, today I pray for grace and I pray for healing. I pray for hope for those, Lord, who are really struggling with disappointment and frustration. And I just thank you for the promise that you meet us where we are at. You understand our confusion, and I know that because when you died and rose again, you met each of the disciples when they were confused and without hope. We can see in your scripture, God, that you meet us in your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness in your love where we are. So, Lord, I pray now through the power of your Holy Spirit that you would bring encouragement, that you would bring people around those who are struggling at the moment. And Lord, we just pray, I continue to pray for that beautiful scripture that you can do immeasurably more than anything we could ever ask, dream, or imagine according to your power at work within us. Today, Lord, I pray that we would choose hope, that we would choose to stand on the truth of your Beatitudes, knowing, God, that you see us, and that you love us, and that you will not leave us or forsake us, and you walk with us. Amen.